Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST. Code ACAST.
Welcome back to the Reasonable Doubt Podcast. My name is Rob Rosen. I'm the creator and executive producer of Reasonable Doubt.
And I'm Fatima Silva, criminal defense attorney and co-host of Reasonable Doubt.
And I'm Detective Chris Anderson, retired homicide investigator and co-host of Reasonable Doubt.
All right, we're going to talk about one of my favorite investigations of this season. But I don't know, before we get to that, I feel like we've gotten into this whole mode where we have to do a little I don't even know who hosts the show. I was going to say Regis and Kelly, but I think I'm dating myself. But isn't it Ryan Seacrest now?
And there's been a few in between.
Yeah.
Right.
I don't even know who it is. It's Ryan Seacrest.
Ryan and Kelly.
Oh, Ryan and Kelly. Okay.
Yeah.
How has your week been in lockdown, Fatima?
Oh, well, you know, we're surviving. My week is, I'm kind of like, it's strange. Every day is a little different. Like sometimes you get emo. And you're just like, what is happening in the world? And you watch too much news and you get really sad. But then, I don't know, you hang out with your fam or you put on Netflix and you watch something. It takes you to, you know, a happier place.
We had a good long bonding conversation while you were taking a walk. Wasn't that this week?
Oh, yeah,
all the weeks
we
mushed
did.
Together. I think we talked for like 2 hours.
We did, huh? That was
We talked
fun.
About life. We got deep.
Well, it's funny because Luke never falls asleep in the stroller and I had to get him out and go for a walk. And then you and I talked so long that I looked down at him in the stroller and his head is totally, he's like hunched over, passed out. And I'm like, wow, only Rob and Fatima could talk this child to sleep.
Chris, you've been there when Fatima and I get on these long discussions in the road.
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
There was a lot of, I agree. I agree to disagree on that.
You're right. Yeah, I just put myself into my own little zone when y'all go into your deep conversations, because usually they start off pretty sane, but then sometimes they end up in a place where I just don't even want to think about, like the conversation about, do you ever think about death?
Do I ever not? Look, you got two people who are anxious about death in a pandemic. Like, what are we going to think about
I
now?
I know. That's the
right?
thing.
This is a terrible combination for us.
That's why when you're like, well, how's your week? I'm like, well, it depends. Was it 2 a.m. when I was just laying there with my eyes open? Like, what's going to happen in 4 months from now and then a year from now? And then all of a sudden I couldn't breathe. But then it's like, oh, you wake up tomorrow morning. And when you wake up in the morning, you're like, oh, you know what? It's a new day. It's okay. But yeah, Chris, it's kind of funny considering for some reason, one may think that you like confrontation or, you know, based on your size or, you know, your authority, that you're very opinionated. And like when Rob and I are going at it, you just kind of sit there and you're like, well, meh.
Yeah. Well, Chris's policy is I'll say things once and that's it. He's not going to say it twice. We'll say it 20 times.
I don't argue my point. I state my point and then that's it. I mean, if you can change my mind, but if you say something that'll change my mind, do it. But I don't have to argue. I feel the way I feel and that's it.
I need that. I really, I know I'm an attorney, so that's actually not a good trait for an attorney, because we're taught to just argue till you're blue in the face. But I need more of that, like, in personal life. Because, like, Rob, even you and I, we've had, the other day we had the same argument we've had since we met each other, like, 4 years ago.
But we kind of enjoy it, don't we? I think that we both like to debate.
Are we still trying, are we still hoping the other person is finally going to come to, like, oh, he's finally going to see what I see?
Here's what it is for me. And I think it's the same thing for you. I like to argue a point, and I'm kind of hoping that the other person can say something that will change it just a little bit. I don't expect to come over to your side, but I just want to hear, like, a little bit, and I test it. Like, okay, this argument. And that's kind of like the way I think my thinking evolves. So I like that process. I think you do too. You're kind of.
I do. It's actually funny because people always think, like, oh, I told you, you don't have anything else to say. And, you know, you must be upset. And a lot of times I'm like, no, actually, that was super interesting. Like, I'm glad I just learned something else. You know, that's kind of how it is for me sometimes. Like, if it's not something I'm super passionate about, but I'm still arguing about it, I just want you to kind of enlighten me a little more.
Let's get to this case. Now, let me just do a little plug. Tuesday nights, 10 o'clock, Investigation Discovery, Reasonable Doubt. If you haven't watched it yet, please, please watch it. I promise you, this is a very unique kind of true crime series, not like anything else you've seen. This investigation into Tracy Lee Fortson, it's so strange for me because to me, it was one of the most compelling investigations of the season, and yet probably the most obvious one. And here's just a little bit of background to get you guys set.
June 4th, 2000, Oglethorpe County, Georgia. 38-year-old Doug Benton, a welder and amateur bodybuilder, goes missing. June 19th, Doug's body is found on a farm 22 miles from home, wrapped in shower curtains, placed in a horse trough, and encased in 800 pounds of cement. 2 days later, police arrest Doug's girlfriend, Tracy Lee Fortson. Cops are very familiar with her. She's one of their own. Tracy was the first female deputy sheriff in the county's history.
2001, Tracy stands trial.
You've been charged with murder.
Prosecutors argue Doug wanted to break up and Tracy was not having it. They say that while he napped, Tracy shot him in the head with a .22 rifle, stabbed him 10 times, and then disposed of his body. The jury accepts the state's account and convicts. Tracy Fortson is now fighting for her freedom while serving a life sentence.
All right, so one of the first things when you first sat down and met with the loved ones, it was Joy, her cousin and best friend growing up, and Sharon, her mom. Can you talk a little bit about just sort of your first impressions of sitting down with her family?
Yeah, I fell in love with her mom. She just reminded me of that old grandmama. She loves her kids no matter what. As we went along in the investigation, she's that type of grandmother that you feel like they can do no wrong.
I've got to ask, do you ever imagine Tracy being out of prison?
All the time. I want to see my daughter walk out of that prison a free woman. I want to see her walk out through those gates and be able to go home to be with me and her daughter.
Yeah, it's really hard when we're dealing with a mom, loved one, because I just feel like I know they want some clarity and, you know, we got to bring them peace. But really, is a mom really going to be able to let something go?
I love her so much. I think about her all the time. And I pray all the time. I just ask God to just fix our broken family. Our family is broken without Tracy.
And I just, it's always harder for me with a mom, but you know, they know what they're doing when they ask us to do this show. And they're basically saying, look, whether it's for us or against us, we want to know the truth. And so you just hope that can bring, some peace or help a mom let go just a little bit so that she can live her own life.
So one of the things in that initial plea that they had that made me That made me kind of think that possibly this case was going to go south, and I'm wondering if you guys were having the same thought, is when Sharon and Joy were presenting basically a conspiracy theory, which in my opinion generally seems to be grasping at the last straw. And in this case, it was that because Tracy had filed a sexual harassment suit against the police department, that somehow there had been some sort of a conspiracy among the sheriff's department to frame her for a murder she did not commit. When you heard that, Chris, did you have the same reaction?
Yeah, I absolutely did. Especially when you look at, you know, look, I've never investigated a case where there has been, you know, just provable facts about police, just this mass type of conspiracy that police departments took to frame one person. I've never investigated a case like that. Do I think that they happen? Yeah, it's possible. It's very possible. But when she talked about the way this conspiracy would have had to have transpired, it kind of just blew my mind.
Fatima, even as a defense attorney, didn't it seem far-fetched to somehow suppose that a response to a sexual harassment?
I take issue with this, even as a defense attorney. I mean, of course, defense attorneys, yes, we fight tooth and nail. You know, we do everything we can, but we're not ridiculous. Come on. I mean,
usually.
Of course it sounded. Look, there are conspiracies. I'm not going to lie. Sometimes people, you know, one little thing can go wrong and they may put the blame on somebody else. But if you're saying that it just so happened that, you know, the person who died, well, first of all, that the police department set somebody up to kill this guy because it was her significant other, and then went as far as stealing all the items in her garage to set her up. I just think if you're going to go with the whole conspiracy thing, don't make it so ridiculous. Just make it as simple as, hey, it's an election year and they wanted a conviction, or, you know, something like that. But when you start to get into, well, you know, she had a sexual harassment and this upset them so much they went off and killed someone, or somebody else killed that guy, but they looked at it as such an opportunity because, you know, she was the girlfriend. So, hey, this is a girlfriend who's suing us. Let's go to her house and see what items we can use to bury him in to then set her up. I mean, when you say it, I think if the person was to say everything that would have to happen in order for that to be true, I think if they were to say that out loud to themselves or write it out, they'd go, all right.
Now, Chris, your test that you did was my favorite of the season. So what was really, just to set it up a little bit, I thought it was a great lead when Sharon and Joy said, look, there's no way that a woman who weighs about 150 pounds, I mean, Tracy was in great shape, but Doug Benton, her boyfriend, who she was convicted of murdering, weighed 250 pounds. He was a bodybuilder. And somehow what the prosecutor said was that she dragged his body in shower curtains out of the house, put it into the back of a truck, into a trough, filled it up with 800 pounds of cement, drove off to a farm, and somehow was able to get that trough with the 800 pounds of cement off of the truck and leave it there to rot in the sunshine. So we put it to the test. And Chris, I thought that was an amazing experiment.
That was absolutely amazing. You know, look, when she gave us that lead, I thought that there was some hope for Tracy. You know, look, I'm thinking 145 pound woman having to lift a 250 pound man, at dead weight man, that's hard. That's extremely hard. But, you know, after seeing our test, and when we put the test together, you know, with the sandbags and wrapped in a cloth and shower curtains and all that other stuff we had it wrapped up in, you know, it was probably a little bit, it should have been even harder for our girl that we had to do it. And after she did it, it was hard for myself and the expert to sit back and watch, but we did not help her at all.
Yeah, I mean, sandbags, because you can't grab arms or, you know, I think if I was going to move a body.
You don't have any way of getting any leverage. That's important when you're moving a body. So So yeah, that just proves that, you know, I think our test proves a lot. Yes, that Tracy could have done it, and that, you know, you but one thing that you can't account for is the motivation of a woman that she has to get rid of that body. She has
adrenaline.
To.
Right?
The adrenaline. Caught, yeah, like, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Things that you are capable of doing when you're just like, right. I have no choice. I gotta get this done.
You did a great segue there for me by saying motive. And, you know, I think that like halfway through the investigation, it was a little bit hard to understand why this woman who had been a county sheriff would murder her boyfriend. I mean, what went on in that relationship that could have been so intense that it would lead to murder? Now, you spoke to the GBI agent who investigated the case, and he brought out a theory. And my question to you coming out of it is, you know, when police or prosecutors come up with theories like this, are they kind of just like coming up with something that they think might fit, or is there really any kind of science at all behind it? So let me play the clip first.
What was it that made Tracy Forrester the lead suspect in this case?
Well, I felt like she was the closest person to him, and several witnesses told us that it was a hostile relationship, that they fought regular.
So, Ben, we have a woman here that has no real history of any violence. What does she have to gain? What's her motive behind all of it?
I think he told her it was over.
Most investigators, we have to understand the why. And that's what I talk to my kids about, my students that I teach. You know, and if you can answer all of the questions, the who's, what, why's, when, where, and how, you know, you've got a pretty solid case. So I think sometimes as investigators, we have to answer that why question. So, and some of the parts of that, the moving parts of that case, while we may not have evidence to prove it, you know, that we have to put it in place to where we can understand it. So yeah, some of it is conjecture, I think, but you know, it's one of those things that we have to understand it.
Well, and it's like, well, you know, help me help you, like, get your story straight here. So you guys don't, you know, you didn't have a tumultuous relationship. You're not fighting a lot, but you also now need a reason to not check on him for what, you know, however many days, right? So what do you do? Well, you create the story of, well, we our relationship was fine, but it just so happens that around that day we broke up.
And then he comes up dead a few days later, you know, and that was another thing. Tracy during her statement said that they didn't fight that much, but they were fighting that day. She mentioned that during her statement.
She did. She admitted that. And fighting enough to where you're going to, he wants space and you're going to give it to him.
Now, Fatima, I think you got a chance to talk to the prosecution's star witness, who was a neighbor at the time, Lisa Watson, but she lived kind of far apart. It wasn't that close. And Lisa, after the fact, like a month later, came out and said that she had heard gunshots the day that Doug went missing. And Fatima, I don't know if you're going to appreciate this characterization, but I feel like I got just a little preview of what...
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee, plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
It might be like if she had been up on the stand and you were cross-examining her during the interview. So I just want to play a piece of it because I don't think her story held up very well once you got through with her.
Between 3:30 and 7, anything unusual?
I heard a gunshot.
This is actually a photo I have of where you were living and then Doug's house right across the street. Is that pretty accurate?
Yes.
So you're saying from your house, you could hear a gunshot go off in Doug's house?
Yes, while I'm standing outside, yes.
Were you outside from 3:30 to 7?
Yes, because that's when I do all my yard work.
Because my partner tells me a 22 caliber rifle isn't that loud, that it's unlikely that you could hear it from your house.
I'm sorry, but I did hear it.
It's nowhere in the police reports. Why not?
I thought he might have just been shooting the get rid of an animal or something.
September of 2000, you read a statement. Here, you mentioned the gunshot. Why?
I don't know.
Yeah, very nice woman. She was extremely heartbroken, for the victim and what happened to him. And I sympathized with her. I did. I think she wanted to do the right thing, but this is the human error in trials. And this is where it's dangerous because somebody's life is on the line, right? Yes, you have a victim. Yes, you want justice, but you also want to be 100% clear, accurate, and honest when it comes to putting somebody else, behind bars and paying the price for that. And I think that because this is months later, naturally, she may have thought what she heard was a gunshot. She could have said, I do remember hearing a sound around this time. I don't, it sounded like a gunshot. It could have just also been a truck or, something. And maybe that was the gunshot. And suddenly you want to be helpful and you want to say,
But can't that be a forced memory? I mean, that seems shaky, right? If I was a juror and I sat there and I heard that, I would dismiss her as a witness. I just wouldn't take anything she said seriously. That to me made her testimony seem.
I'm sorry. Are you saying if you heard this woman's testimony, you wouldn't have the way?
No.
That
if
it,
I
she
heard you
it?
Cross, if I heard you cross-examine her the way you did in that interview, and she couldn't come up with the answers about the distance, the caliber of weapon, why she dismissed it, why she only came to the police with it a month later, once she already knew the story that they had put out there in the press, I would say, yeah, let's just give her good motives. She was trying to be helpful, but now it's a forced memory and I just don't trust it. If it was that important, she would have said it right away.
Hope that a jury would see that through that, an intelligent jury, and would say, she may have the best intentions, but she's not reliable. But that's the burden that is put on the defense. And if they didn't make it that clear that she wasn't a reliable witness, it's a catch-22 sometimes, because when you're doing that, you're trying to point out, well, you're not sure, are you? Which is a question you never want to ask, by the way, too. And because they eventually will say, yes, I'm certain. And when you ask that and you force them to say, I remember it, I'm 100% sure, suddenly the jury is like, oh, well, I mean, if they're 100% sure, they seem confident, I'm confident. We've talked about this, right? If you can appear confident in your testimony, which somebody who's obviously been giving the statement over and over, who's been prepped right before a testimony, is going to appear confident a lot of times, even if a defense attorney's coming after them and they say, well, you don't think you really heard it. Oh, I heard it. I heard it. And I remember I heard it. And I don't know why it's not in my statement, but I remember what I heard. you'd be surprised. A juror could look past that and say, who knows why it's not in the statement? Maybe somebody forgot to write it in the statement. Maybe she wasn't thinking at that moment, you know, and then she remembered later what time she heard it. It's just, it happens.
Now, so, Chris, I mean, if you were the investigator on that case and you had a witness like this who comes to you a month later and says, wait a minute, now I do remember the day of, I did hear a gunshot. I didn't tell you before. I didn't think it was important, but now it seems important. How can you suss that out to see if it's worthwhile?
So, yeah, you, as an investigator, you need to thoroughly look into her statements. You know, on one hand, you have this woman, and yeah, her testimony may not be as credible as you would like, but you know, so yeah, you have to make sure that you sift through everything that she says, and you have to ask her the questions of, well, why didn't you tell me this at first? You know, what happened? Was it something else that jogged your memory? You've got to understand the whys, you know, but in this instance, you know, I just think that, yes, her testimony was not the most damaging piece of evidence in this case. It just helped.
Yeah, we don't even know how much that played a role. But can I just say, in her defense, because that's what I do, you also have to look at it. It's not that simple, and I think there is room for error here because we didn't know immediately. It's not like the next day they're like, hey, your neighbor died from a gunshot wound to the head. And then she can automatically go, oh my goodness, you know what? I heard a gunshot. That makes sense. So when she was first questioned by police, he was not located yet. He was simply missing. And so I don't know where I do know where they live, and there are gunshots that go off often. There's hunting in that area. So if it was possible to hear this particular gun, or if she just so happened to hear somebody hunting, it's very possible. It unfortunately worked against Tracy, but it's very possible she heard a gunshot.
I'm not saying she had any motive except to try to help, even though she did say she didn't like Tracy. She had an opinion about her. But isn't it possible that this becomes sort of a reconstructed memory? Because, you know, it's not uncommon when she's out there gardening to hear gunshots. And then a month later, when she knows the circumstances, all of a sudden, oh, yeah, yeah, I did hear a gunshot. But I mean, how much can we trust that?
You just asked, isn't it possible? Look at you, defense attorney. Of course, yes. You get, that's possible. I mean, the truth is, if it's not a big deal to hear gunshots and it could be attributed to anything, the likelihood is that, you know, she may not even remember hearing something on that particular day.
I would even go as far as to say, you know, all of her memories in a case like this, all of her memories are going to be reconstructed, because remember that this guy had been missing for a few days before he was actually reported, if I'm correct. And during the initial phases of this investigation, it's a missing person. So yeah, you may go back out.
Well, she reported because he had birds outside. And his birds didn't weren't being usually taken care of.
Right.
So that's how he ended up reported. She's like, wait a minute, he's outside every night, 6 p.m. feeding these birds. And she went over there and the birds weren't being fed.
This is one of those cases, and I don't know if you guys would agree with this, but as well-intentioned as the family was, they were one of these families that said, look this way, look at this stuff, but we're going to try to keep this hidden. So the victim, Doug Benton, is found, as we mentioned, in a horse trough encased in 800 pounds of cement. Now, it almost sounds laughable, but you guys had to find out on your own during the investigation that the morning that Doug Benton went missing, Tracy went and bought a horse trough and 800 pounds of cement, which sounds ridiculous. But when we found out about this, Chris tried to bring this up to Tracy and give her a chance, some chance, to try to explain it away.
I purchased the galvanized trough for my horse. I wanted to pour a concrete pad for my dog pen. So I bought concrete. And when I got home and pulled up on my carport, the trough and concrete were gone.
Who did you think took it?
I thought it was somebody that was connected with the sheriff's department.
So, Chris, this brings us back to the conspiracy theory talk. But I mean, I think this for you seemed to pretty much end any mystery about what might have happened in this case.
It did. I mean, you know, that's like I said, I say it all the time. Too many coincidences are problems. You know, and to think that, you know, that these guys went in and framed all of this in a manner to frame or put all of this together in order to put this on Tracy, it's a hard sell for me. I tried to stay as non-biased as I could throughout the entire investigation, but at some point or another, you have to just, okay, look, this is getting ridiculous now. So, and that's how I felt by the time after we learned about the things that she had purchased. So, yeah.
And she wasn't answering it in any way that was acceptable to you, right? As an investigator.
Absolutely not. Her reasons behind it. No.
And I don't mean to be flip about this, but she was law enforcement. So you would just think, I'm sorry, I don't mean to be flip, but I mean, you would just think you would plan a better murder if that was your intention.
I mean, the way and the manner in which he was found, and I don't know if we talk about this a lot on the show, but it's really sad. And it's really gruesome. It's so sad if that was your child. I mean, the farmer found it on his property because it had such a bad smell. And then when he went over to it and they ended up lifting it with the crane, fluids came out of the bottom of it because he was at the bottom and it looked like, what was it? Bugs and animals had been trying to get to it. And because they smelled it, I mean, it was just really sad. It's a tragic way for somebody. You're going to take someone's life and then you're going to think you can get rid of their body that way.
When you guys had to tell the family, this to me was really moving. And last week in the podcast, when I said this episode makes me cry, it's the very end of it. Normally, you guys really are there to answer the question for the most part, is there a path forward? And so a lot of times you're not necessarily making a judgment on the guilt of the person or the case, but just whether these leads can be any kind of a path towards overturning a conviction. In this case, and you guys seem to do this two or three times a season, there was no hedging like that. I mean, you flat out told them, look, she did kill Doug Benton. Chris, you said that. And there was a moment at the end where, I don't know if you guys felt this too, where there was just kind of this flash of acceptance or understanding in Sharon's face, like she got it. And she just broke down and it was so heartbreaking. It's like the truth just kind of like slammed in and hit her. Is that how you guys felt in that moment?
Yeah, you know, I don't think, you know, I talked to Fatima and you, of course, Rob, about this. There's no... When all of the evidence and there is science and everything points towards guilt, I don't think that we should hedge it. I mean, they brought us there for some help. They want an independent look at these cases. So it was almost like telling, you know, me doing my a death notification. We really need to, there's no easy way to say it, especially when everything points to their guilt like it did in this case. So yeah, and I think that there was a moment there during our conversation that she did feel the okay, yeah, well, this is right. You know, did she accept it? I don't know, you know, but I think that we did have a moment with her.
I don't know. I might disagree with this. I think we did what we had to do. We did what they brought us there to do, and that was give answers. We gave a clear answer, which we normally never do it like that. But I felt this woman deserved honesty. But this is a situation where I have to say I felt like that look of resignation. I don't know if it was more, I see it now. I think, to be honest, she's kind of always seen it. And deep, deep down, she's always known the truth, but she just can't accept it because that means that she can't have her daughter home. So I think that face, to me, it felt like it was a look of, if you guys can't give me hope, nobody's going to be able to. You were my last, you were my last hope, and you're telling me this, and not, you're telling me she's guilty, she did it. Then you know what? Maybe this is it. Like, I'm never going to see my daughter, you know, home again anytime soon. And that part was sad. And as you've seen the episode, we kind of couldn't control it.
I remember coming down afterwards when we were done, and Sharon and Joy were leaving, and Fatima, I just remember you had tears running down your face. I mean, I think you grabbed
me and hugged me, and I just cried.
I did. And I mean, aww, and I say this,
Rob,
we did have a moment. We're like fighting brothers and sisters or something, but I didn't actually get to speak to Sharon a couple of days ago. I hadn't talked to her since last summer when we were there. And she was very nice. She just didn't feel like she wanted to put herself through the whole thing of calling in to the podcast. But I did ask her whether this changed her mind about things. And she said, well, look, I just want my family whole again. And I'm looking towards the next parole hearing. And I'm just hoping that she'll be let go. And I'm keeping my faith. So, you know, she sounded resigned.
When is she
good
up for parole?
You know, Sharon was telling me that it was this June. But I don't feel like that's, I mean, I don't mean to second guess her, but our research had shown that she had been denied last year. So I'm not 100% sure about that, but there is an upcoming parole hearing, and that's really what she's just putting her hope in, which is probably a better and stronger hope, right, than thinking that at some point this is going to be overturned.
Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
All right. Well, that does it for the Reasonable Doubt podcast. Next week, we got a pretty amazing case, even though we didn't enjoy our time in Oklahoma all that much. But this is a case of a woman who disappeared without a trace. Her body to this day has never been found. But there was someone who was convicted of the murder, and now his family says he didn't do it. So that is coming up Tuesday night. If you just got this podcast the day it dropped, it is tonight, 10 p.m. on Investigation Discovery. Please check it out. My name is Rob Rosen. I'm the executive producer and creator of Reasonable Doubt.
And my name is Detective Chris Anderson. I'm a retired homicide investigator and the co-host of Reasonable Doubt.
And I'm Fatima Silva, defense attorney and co-host of Reasonable Doubt.
Everybody, have a safe week. Wash your hands, wear masks. What else are we supposed to tell people to do? Stay 6 feet away.
Stay inside.
Stay sane.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.